As a heart surgeon, saturated fat is not what is causing the epidemic of heart disease. I had plantar fasciitis. My third day on the carnivore diet, I got out of bed and for the first time in years, my foot didn't hurt and was able to lose 100 pounds.
Why the carnivore diet cures heart disease with Dr. Philip Avedia. Dr. Avedia is a cardiac heart surgeon. He has lost over 100 pounds and he has seen his patients reverse heart disease with a carnivore diet. And it's more than just heart health. Next week, we have Dr. Elizabeth Bright discussing why one stick of butter a day is so important for reversing menopause symptoms. So if you want to check it out, make sure you subscribe. Dr. Avedia is going to join us on the December Carnivore Challenge. I host these monthly challenges every single month with special guest speakers to tell you the truths about the carnivore diet, how it can help you lose fat and reverse disease. The link is in the description. See you there. So as a cardiac surgeon, do you think that saturated fat is the villain or the hero in cardiac health?
It is clear that saturated fat is not harmful to our health, is not harmful to our heart health. And, you know, that's not just me saying that. We have to realize that many of the leading organizations now who kind of started this whole problem around saturated fat, this concern around saturated fat, have walked back from that. You know, the American Heart Association, the US Dietary Guidelines have both, over the last few years, quietly taken the restrictions on saturated fat out of their recommendations. They have said, you know, saturated fat is no longer a nutrient of concern for overconsumption. They didn't make that big announcement, oh, we were wrong about saturated fat. So honestly, most physicians and most, you know, non-physicians haven't gotten that message. And there's still all this concern around saturated fat and heart disease, especially red meat causing heart disease, cancer. All of these things are simply not founded in science. It frustrates me that we still have to argue against what was never a well-founded hypothesis in the first place. And yet we go round and round trying to convince people that it's not true. So I'm fully confident as a heart surgeon saying that saturated fat is not what is causing the still ever-present epidemic of heart disease, because we can look at it at many different levels. But again, looking at the high level of evidence, since we have been concerned about saturated fat going back to the 1950s, we have reduced our consumption of saturated fat. And our heart disease problem has not gotten better. And lots of other problems have gotten a lot worse during that time. Obesity, diabetes in particular. So saturated fat is not the problem. We shouldn't be avoiding saturated fat. There's no reason to fear saturated fat in the diet.
So do you think that vegetables and fruit are a killer at all to our health?
That is oftentimes going to depend on the person is my answer to that. So my first rule around eating is we should be eating whole real food, eliminate processed food. And that's going to get a lot of improvement for most people. We do have to acknowledge that plants, fruits have some things that can be harmful to people. When you're talking about fruits, first of all, they have a lot of sugar in them. And if you are not metabolically healthy, you cannot tolerate sugar. You cannot tolerate carbohydrates, no matter what form they're coming in, because your body ultimately doesn't really differentiate between the sugar in processed food and the sugar that's coming from a piece of fruit. If you're not metabolically healthy, you want to be careful with fruits and vegetables because they are carbohydrates. If you are metabolically healthy, then you may be able to tolerate some of these. But the other side of that discussion is, you know, are there unique benefits to fruits and vegetables? And the answer to that at this point is really no, it's not. No, there isn't. There are no nutrients that you can't get from animal products that are only available in plant products. So it is not essential to the human diet to be consuming plant products. And that's why we see, you know, so many carnivores are able to thrive and do so well for such a long, you know, long period of time.
For most of our, I'm so glad that you said that.
Yeah.
You're very, very clear. Yeah. I'm so glad because I think that there's such a misconception around we need to eat vegetables, or even some vegetables, some fruit. They contain right. nutrients. But exactly what you said, there is no essential nutrient that we cannot get from meat. And that's the most important thing about it.
For most of our existence as human beings, we have been eating a primarily carnivorous diet. People will always cite, you know, all these studies that show benefit to eating more vegetables, eating more fruit, you know, and this is where the eat your 5 to 7 servings a day came from. But the only benefit of those foods is if they are displacing processed food in the diet, essentially. That's the only place that you can truly show benefit from, you know, eating these foods. And yes, I would agree with that. If your choice is processed food or fruits and vegetables, eat the fruits and vegetables. But the reality is that you don't need either in your diet. And so, you know, I don't say that carnivore is the only way to be healthy, but I ask.
It's a pretty good way.
Yeah, it is a very good way. And, you know, I always ask people to just be more thoughtful about what you're eating. That's what it starts with.
As a cardiac health surgeon, how did you stumble across the carnivore diet?
I was morbidly obese. I was pre-diabetic. And I, quite frankly, thought I was going to end up on my own operating table. My grandmother had had heart surgery. My dad has had heart surgery. And I saw myself going down the same path as many of my patients. Like many of my patients, was at a loss as to what to do, because I had followed the advice that I had learned to give them, the advice I would give them, eat less, move more, eat a low-fat diet, count your calories. And it wasn't working for me. And it, you know, quite frankly, didn't work for them. Thankfully, I started to come across some different ideas around health, some different information. My journey really goes back. This is now 7 years ago. I was at a conference of heart surgeons, and the guest lecturer happened to be Gary Taubes. And this was right when Gary had written The Case Against Sugar. And of course, prior to that, he had written Good Calories, Bad Calories, and Why We Get Fat. Listening to Gary talk really resonated with me. The concepts he talked about made a lot of sense. And these were new concepts to me, you know, what we eat is more important than how much we eat. I immediately, you know, read Gary's books, started eliminating sugar, low carb diet, that evolved through keto. And I was able to lose 100 pounds, reverse my pre-diabetes. And I thought I was doing pretty well. And then about 3 years ago, I heard another crazy surgeon by the name of Sean Baker talking about the carnivore diet.
Now, if you need support and you can't lose fat on the carnivore diet, no matter what you do, you can join the December Carnivore Challenge. You can also meet Dr. Ovadia. He's going to answer all of your questions live relating to cardiac heart health, as well as so many other guest speakers. I host these challenges every single month, and the key reason is for you to stay supported and on your journey with the carnivore diet. The link is in the description. See you there.
And I started thinking, you know, at that time I was doing very low carb keto, probably under 20 grams of carbs a day, a little bit of veggies. I'm mostly eating a carnivore diet. Let me give it a try. And I gave it a try. And I noticed even more improvement. One of the most noticeable things for me was I had plantar fasciitis, inflammation in my foot. I could not get rid of. I would, you know, do all the stretches. I would stop running. I would run more, you know, everything I could try, different shoes. It would not go away. My third day on the carnivore diet, I got out of bed, and for the first time in years, my foot didn't hurt. And
Third day
on the carnivore diet. Yeah, it really was. And early on, you know, if I would have something non-carnivore, I would start to feel pain in my foot again. So clearly there was some inflammation, something was triggering it, you know, the veggies or whatever it was, you know, some of those keto kind of processed foods now. I wasn't aware of the whole vegetable and seed oil thing back then. So, you know, there are certainly some other things I've learned along the way. But, you know, 3+ years later, I've stayed with carnivore because, quite frankly, I feel my best. It's easy. It's kind of low, you know, I don't have to count anything. I don't have to think about anything. It fits well into my lifestyle. You know, I can go long periods of time without eating. If I'm in the operating room or I'm busy at work, I get home from work, you know, it's simple. I grab something out of the fridge. I throw it in a pan for a few minutes. I eat it. I'm done. No mess. I don't have to think about shopping much. It's so I stick with it because it works. And I now realize, you know, how powerful a dietary intervention it is.
So I know based on your book, Get Off My Operating Table, you talk about the five measures of metabolic health. What should people be looking at when they're measuring their overall cardiac health?
I think the measures of metabolic health are a great place to start. They are the basics, but they're where everyone should start. And you should at least know these five numbers, and you should know whether or not you are metabolically healthy. Because, you know, going back to your last question, if it's not saturated fat, what is it? The answer is it's insulin resistance and it's poor metabolic health. That is the biggest risk factor for heart disease. And that's been shown in you know, study after study. So you need to know, are you metabolically healthy or not? And the statistics are pretty shocking. You know, here in the United States, 88% of the adults are not metabolically healthy.
88%.
88%.
That's crazy.
There was a more recent study looking at a slightly different set of parameters that actually found that 93% were not healthy. And, you know, that's the US, which is probably, you know,
the worst
place, but many other countries are not far behind. The first step is to measure it, to know how to measure it. Five basic measures. The first one is your waist circumference. So just take a tape measure just above the level of your belly button, measure it first thing in the morning. The general rule of thumb is less than half of your height is the goal there. That's the ideal. The acceptable cutoffs that, you know, we put on these numbers for women is 35 inches, for men is 40 inches. The next measurement is blood pressure. You can check it at home. Your doctor checks it. You can get it checked at the pharmacy, the grocery store. The goal there is to be less than 135 over 80. So both of those numbers have to be under those cutoffs. And that needs to be without the use of blood pressure lowering medication. If you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure, it is an indicator of poor metabolic health. It's often the first indicator. And unfortunately, many doctors don't pick up on that, don't view it that way. The last three measures come from some very basic blood work. You know, almost every doctor checks this as part of a sort of routine examination. So your fasting blood glucose level, the amount of sugar that's in your blood when you haven't eaten for 8 to 12 hours, and you want that to be under 100 milligrams per deciliter here in the U.S., and that's roughly 5 millimole. If you have type 2 diabetes, another indicator that you are not metabolically healthy. And then finally, we do look at cholesterol, but important to note, we look at HDL, the good cholesterol number. We look at triglycerides, another number on your cholesterol panel. We do not look at LDL cholesterol, the number that, you know, most doctors are so focused on. So your HDL cholesterol, you want that to be higher. That's why we call it good cholesterol. For men, you want it to be over 40 milligrams per deciliter. For women, you want it to be over 50 milligrams per deciliter. Women tend to have higher HDL levels. Those are the basic measures of metabolic health. If you have three of those abnormal outside those healthy ranges I mentioned, that actually diagnoses you with the metabolic syndrome, it's called. It's a medical diagnosis. It means you are at very high risk for things like diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's disease. Many forms of cancer have been associated with the metabolic syndrome. You know, most of the chronic medical conditions we face today are attributable to metabolic disease, metabolic syndrome. Find out your numbers, discuss it with your doctor, ask them, do I have the metabolic syndrome? Am I metabolically healthy? And unfortunately, a lot of doctors are going to have to like go back to their textbook and look that up, because it's not something that we talk about every day, even though it is the major risk factor for heart disease and for, you know, so many of these other chronic diseases.
Okay, so if people have metabolic syndrome, which is a cluster of different kind of conditions, what can they do to start improving their health?
Yeah, so first and foremost is, you know, changing what you're eating. This is driven by diet, first and foremost. And the processed foods, especially the heavily processed carbohydrates and the heavily processed oils, heavily processed fats, the vegetable and seed oils, do seem to be the main drivers of the metabolic syndrome. So the best way to attack this problem is to change the way you eat. There are other factors that contribute to it. And, you know, the other kind of pillars of advice that I give in the book are moving more, getting more activity throughout your day, making sure you sleep enough and you get good quality sleep, managing your stress. These are other factors that play into metabolic health. First and foremost is start paying attention to what you're eating.
Now, when it comes to actually being on a carnivore diet, a lot of carnivores they like to test, obviously the HDL, other markers. What do you think about calcium scores and testing CACs, also testing your insulin levels?
Both of those tests, I think, are excellent tests, whether or not you're carnivore. I think your fasting insulin level is a great indicator of your metabolic health. It goes beyond those five basic measures that I talked about. And I do believe that we should be checking that in, you know, most people. The coronary artery calcium score scan, I believe, is the best test to show someone whether, you know, what their level of risk is of developing significant heart disease. If you don't already have heart disease, if you don't already have symptoms of heart disease, then the coronary artery calcium scan is the best test that we can do to determine, do you have the early signs of heart disease? Are you developing plaque within the arteries of your heart, which means that you have been doing something that has been damaging the arteries of your heart? And all these other metrics that we talk about, all the blood tests, all the cholesterol markers, all of those are just trying to predict how much risk you might be at for heart disease. Why not get the scan that looks at whether you have heart disease?
So what do you think about patients that have pre-existing heart problems, they have stents, or they're on like SARBs, so they're on aspirin, a beta blocker? Can they do a carnivore diet while being on medication, or if they have pre-existing heart problems?
What I tell people with heart disease, what I tell people after I operate on them, you know, for their heart disease, is we still need to address the underlying problem and we need to stop the damage from continuing to accumulate. So I do not really see any contraindications for patients with heart disease to doing a carnivore diet. Many of my patients after surgery have done it and have done well with it. And then I have many patients that I work with who have some heart disease, but not, you know, not advanced to the point that they've needed a stent or a bypass surgery. And they do the carnivore diet as part of a comprehensive program to improve their health. And they see very good results for it. I have now some people who have actually seen lowering of their coronary artery calcium score. That's still controversial. Many cardiologists, many heart doctors will tell you that's not possible, but I have seen it. So it is possible. I'm not going to tell you that we can completely undo damage that's been done. We can't get calcium scores to go from 1,000 to zero, but we can get them to go down 10, 15%. And more importantly, we can stop them from getting worse.
So how can people find you?
My website is ifixhearts.com. I have my book, obviously. I have my courses, my medical practice where I work with people one-on-one to help them stay off my operating table. is at ovadiaharthealth.com.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure that we're going to see you on again. If you want to meet Dr. Ovadia live, join the December Carnival Challenge. He will answer all of your questions relating to heart health and also how he lost 100 pounds on the carnivore diet. The link is in the description. See you there.